I learned something about something that I was aware of, but somebody shed some greater light on the situation, and it blessed me, and I pray that it blesses you. We serve an awesome God. Praise God. We serve an awesome God. Glory. Hallelujah. Have you found Genesis? It's one of those hard books to find. Yes. Yeah. I didn't say what chapter. Okay. That's probably why. We're going to go at chapter 1. Hallelujah. We'll get there. We will get there. The first verse of Genesis chapter 1 says what? Okay, that's pretty good, Brother Ian. That's pretty good. Like he read it like it says it. Standing there holding the camera. In the beginning, God. You know, some people believe that there were two creations. And they look at the account of Genesis in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And they say that, see that right there, there's two creations that took place. As if God made a mistake with the first one, and then he redid it again. But I don't believe that there were two. I believe that there was one. Genesis chapter 1 kind of gives like headlines, boom, 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 boom. Genesis chapter 2 breaks it down in detail of God's creation and how he created man. And I know there was one person was sharing about that, and I said, well, if there were two creations, how come Jesus never mentioned it? Why is it that Jesus only goes to Adam and not before Adam? Why do those who followed Jesus only go to Adam? And they say, in Adam all die, but in Christ Jesus all are made alive. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about that. When you look at Romans chapter 5, it talks about it. And so, biblically, from what's revealed in the scriptures, not man's intelligence in what he thinks he knows, but what is revealed in the scriptures is the account of one creation. And it began with God forming man of the dust of the earth and breathing into man's nostrils the breath of life, and then man becoming a living soul. The Bible, if we date it, only goes back 6,000 years from what's revealed to us. Yet science says that the creation, the planet, and all is much, much older. It's millions of years. And I'm just one of those closed-minded, Bible-believing people. I do not trust in the instruments made by man. I don't trust in the words of man. I trust in the words of Almighty God. I look at the closest calendar that we have related to the Bible, and it's the calendar that Israel is on. They are in the year 5776, I believe it is, which is close to the 6,000 years that we believe mankind and the history of mankind has been in existence. One day we'll stand before God and we'll get to know everything that needs to be known. But for what we have is what God wants us to base our lives on. Everything that we do, how we live, how we conduct ourselves. If you think God is concerned about us knowing what happened millions of years ago, you are thinking crazy. He wants you to know what happened in the beginning and how we fell and then how he came and he rescued us from our sin and he sent his son to the cross to die for our sins to reconcile us back to him again. He wants us to know that there was an old covenant, and if that old covenant was good enough, there would never have been made room for a new covenant. But because that old covenant was insufficient, God established a new covenant. Covenant, and in that new covenant, everything exists now. We don't live in the old because the old is old and obsolete. We live in this new covenant that has been ratified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And so science can go where they think people like me should go. praise God. What I learned, what was good, was what I can take from it, was about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We all know about it. We know that there were two trees that the Lord made mention of that were in the field that he had created, this place that God had created for Adam and Eve to begin and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, spread out and all, if you will. There were two trees, he says. There's a tree of life, and then there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That tree you shall not eat of. And what was shared was really profound. And that is that tree, and you may have already knew it, and if you did know it, just thank God Pastor Killings catches up with some things, amen? Was that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represented God's authority in the earth. What do you mean by that? Represented the authority of God in the earth, that what God says is good, and what God says is evil. In other words, we base our lives off of what God says and not what society or culture or any other thing says. No devil. No alien. If they're out there, all they are demons. They don't dictate to us what is good and what is evil. God does. He says, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall die. He gave them fair warning to let them know what was going to happen. They got deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam willfully transgressed against God. And from that point on, men began to determine what is good for them and what is evil. And we see that happening today. Paul talked about it when he says, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. And he also talked about people will give themselves over to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Their conscience would be seared like with a hot iron. That people would believe whatever they wanted to believe. So they now choose what's good and what's evil. We know, or I always believe, that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was simply that, knowledge. Good knowledge and bad knowledge coming from the same tree. But it's what it represented and how the enemy used it and caused mankind to fall, which perverted the true knowledge and the revelation that we had through God himself, having been made in his image and after his likeness. And so, when we look at creation, we look at day one, what God created. We look at day two, what God created. We look at day three, what God created. We look at day four, day five, and day six. 6 days the Lord began in creating. And on the seventh day, he rested. And what was interesting was God didn't make man until the very end. In other words, after everything was created, the heavens and the earth, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, every creeping, crawling thing, the herbs and everything. After God created everything, then he created man. And man's first day after creation was to enjoy God's rest. And to remain in that rest. And from that rest, live. Even the work that God had assigned to us wasn't difficult type work that makes you sweat, that makes you, you know, makes you toil and have to work extra hard. You know, it's a good thing to work hard because it pays dividends. But God made it easy for us. It was only when sin came in that God says, okay, now you're under the curse. Now you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. Now work becomes toil, it becomes difficult, it becomes hard, if you will. But in the beginning, you were already created a success and given stewardship over everything that God created. In other words, God created everything for us to come in and enjoy. Hallelujah. Even the work to maintain it all, to enjoy it. Didn't Jesus say this? What did he say? In Mark chapter 2, he said, the Sabbath was made for and not man for the. So the day that God rested was the day that God made for man to come and to enjoy. Enjoy his presence, enjoy fellowship. Just enjoy creation in and of itself. That's why we were created. Who would want to commit suicide with opportunities like that? Understanding why we were created. Who would want to bail out? Who would want to hurt somebody knowing that God didn't create it just for Adam and Eve, but all of their offspring that would come forth from them, he created it for us all to enjoy. But when the authority was breached, war came in. The battle came in. Resistance came in. Opposition came in. Opinions came in. We were created one way. We were wired one way. And it got tainted, corrupted, messed up. Confusion settled in. As I said in the post this past Sunday, God had to come and look for Adam. Instead of Adam coming to look for God. It was before where they just met in the cool of the day and had fellowship, koinonia, if you will, intimacy. In the cool of the day, God would come and minister, and they would enjoy the fellowship that they had with each other. We lost it in Adam, but we gained it back in Jesus, bless God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, the way it began is the way it's going to end up. So we might as well get our start right now, praise God. We might as well get all of our practice in, and we don't even have to practice. We just live it and enjoy it because it's what God ordained for us. He never created us that sin would rule in our body. He says that the soul that sinneth, he spoke through Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin brings about separation from God. It still does that to this very day. You can't have that intimate fellowship with God when you willingly sin and transgress against him. It just doesn't match. Something else has your heart. And with God, he wants your heart. All of it, not just a portion. Well, I got to share a little bit over here. I got to share a little bit over here. I got to share a little bit over here. I got to just share the wealth. And God is like, no, I want your heart. I'll teach you how to love. Hallelujah. I'll teach you you'll learn how to love from my perspective. If I can love 7 billion plus people at one time, and none of them are lacking any of my love, but they have, all of them have the same love. So much love that I do not want to do without you. I'm doing everything to reach you. If you don't think God is doing everything to reach humanity, you are vastly deceived. He is doing everything to reach those souls that are lost, dead in trespasses and sins, that they too may know his love just as we, and even that we would get to know his love greater than what we know today. His love never fails. His love continues to grow. It continues to multiply. It continues to increase. It's so deep, so vast, so wide. We cannot bottom it out. Hallelujah. Jesus said it like this: for God so loved the world, you cannot define it. It's so deep, so vast, so wide. Paul says, oh, to know the widths, the lengths, the depths, the heights, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. God's love is deep. You haven't even tapped into it fully. I haven't tapped into it fully, but I'm swimming. Bless God. I'm going to get down to the bottom of this thing one way or another. What's the other? When I get to glory. Praise God. If I can't bottom it out here on this earth, I'm just going to keep swimming through this till I go on to glory. Then I'll see everything as it is. There'll be no blinders, nothing in the way, no obstacles, no interferences. That's why I tell people when your loved ones go on to glory, they ain't stunting you. Praise God. You had your years with them. They're in the presence of God now. They're just at awe, amazed. You know how it is when believers who may, whether they may have an encounter where they go up in the presence of God and they see glory, they don't want to come back, they want to stay, God has to tell them, you got to go back. Because they see something so good and so glorious, you just don't want to leave. And so God says, go back, and they got to go back, and then they got to tell their story. What happened? For some of us, it's too hard to believe because it hasn't happened to us. But we got enough word right here that it doesn't have to happen to you. You can know it for yourself and experience the greatness of his love right here and right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So day one, God created. Day two, God created. Day three, God created. Day four, God created. Day five, God created. Day six, God created. And the last of what he created on day six, let's look at it in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 24, we'll read verse 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. That's biblically how the day began. It began in the evening and it ended the following evening. And God said in verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. This is all in the sixth day. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. It's repetitive because God means it. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the tree of the fruit, in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We know the sixth day to be the day of man. But man was created at the end and not at the beginning. God didn't need man for his assistance in order to create anything, to sustain anything, to provide anything. He simply made he created man to enjoy everything. And this is exactly what the Father wants us to do today, right here and right now. To enjoy his creation, to enjoy this life that we have in Christ Jesus. If you think that it's God's will that you be sad and sorrowful and depressed, if you think that it's God's will that you be broke, if you think that it's God's will that you suffer, you are wrong. He created you to enjoy. Even when Jesus went to the cross and was nailed there, one of his final words were, "It is finished." He didn't even need us in the plan or the work of redemption. God did it all. And why did he do it? For us to enjoy. Simply put, God did everything for us to enjoy. Let's go to Psalms chapter 8. When you get there, say amen. All right, if you need more time, say hold up. Okay. Psalms, about the middle of the Bible. They might even put it on the screen just to help out. Psalms chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? So the psalmist is saying, when I look at all that you created, who are we? What importance is there for us? You made everything. You uphold everything. You sustain everything. You provide everything. You even deal with the enemies. You don't even need us. Praise God. But one thing that God wants from you is praise. He wants you to praise him for his mighty acts and his deeds. He wants you to praise him because he's good. He wants you to praise him that you would acknowledge the fact that he didn't need us, but he created everything for us to enjoy. Who is man? Man that challenges you. Man that rises up against you. Man that tries to change what you have said. What you said is good is good. What you said is evil. Who is man to all of a sudden come on the scene, take over what you created for us to enjoy, and then try and tell us how we're supposed to live? Who is man? Why are you concerned with man? Why in the world would you send your son to the cross, as wicked as we are in our rebellion against you? What is it about you? We don't deserve anything that you do. And nevertheless, you are concerned with us. And you will even perfect the things that concern us. Even when Adam and Eve transgressed against you, they were not going to come to you. They were hiding. And that's what sin does. It brings about shame and humiliation.
But when you have a generation that says, no longer is God's authority in power, now my authority, I say what's good, I say what's evil. We see it when we're dealing with our children. Don't do that. Why? Because I said don't do it. No, it's not right. That's wrong. Do this. Why? Because I said do it. Well, no, because it's the right thing to do. Law enforcement. Speed limit on the freeway is what? We go beyond that, we do what? Yeah, we break the law. So if they pull us over, we shouldn't even get an attitude. We should accept the ticket. Don't lie and say, well, you know, I thought I was only going. No, you were going 70 miles an hour. Well, you know, other people get away with it. Well, you're not getting away with it today. Take the ticket. Pay the ticket. And learn the lesson. It's there for a reason. Some of you are probably too young to remember when they reduced the speed limit from 65 to 55 miles an hour. Because of the gas situation, the gas prices, because of the oil, if you will, the gas shortage, the oil shortage, if you will. And they dropped the speed limit down to 55. And do you know what 55 miles an hour did? Not only did it conserve gasoline, oil, if you will, but it also reduced the accidents that were happening on the freeway because people were driving more safer at that slower speed. Those were the statistics that they recognized. I don't even think they had that in mind. They were just looking at, okay, oil prices, gas prices, you know, we're having this shortage. So what we need to do is we need to slow the speed limit. And they found out people were more safer. All the rules that God has established are to keep us safe, not to keep us from having fun. Because, see, you drive at 55 long enough, you'll adjust to it. And it's like, it's okay. And with the way some of the people drive, and I don't know, I can't remember if I drove like that when I was younger. I do know that I drove fast. I do know that I would, you know, but not like some of these, because I think some of these people, they think that they're on the Indy 500 or something. I mean, the way they, huh? 65 was fast, yes. And so, you know, they bob in and out of traffic, and I don't remember that. I just like, if I had a straight shot on the freeway, I wanted to put the pedal to the metal and just enjoy the ride. But some are very reckless. But in doing so, we run the risk of either injuring ourselves or injuring someone else around us. And so the rules and the authority is for our protection and our safety and not for our harm. And so here we have God saying, you can eat of every tree. Everything out there you can eat. And enjoy, except for this one. Why? Because I said so. And then he says, in eating so, you'll die. You'll perish. It'll take you to a place you never thought you would go. Keep you longer than you thought you would be there. It will destroy you for all eternity. And they did, and it didn't take long. I don't believe that it was a whole, like, 1,000 years or so before they, you know, they actually sinned. I believe Satan came right there at the beginning. They were adults. He didn't create children. He created adults. He created a man and he created a woman. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, which means God had already put it in their hearts to come together as husband and wife and be intimate and have children. I believe Satan got there before they had their first seed. And I don't think he waited a long time. I think he waited until after that day when they first had to walk and fellowship in the garden. Then he immediately came in right after, before they conceived and gave birth. Why? Because if Adam and Eve would have came together in intimacy and conceived, and Eve would have conceived and given birth, that child would have been spotless and blameless. It would have been created in this. Satan would have not only had to go to Adam and Eve, but he would now have to go to either Abel or Cain. And we see from the union that after the fall, they had two sons. First son was Cain. Second son was Abel. Cain was an evil man. Cain slew his brother simply because God was more pleased with his brother's offering and sacrifice than he was with Cain's. God was like this: Cain, all you have to do is go get the other sacrifice and bring it here and worship me, and I would have received yours. Simple. But what did he do? He took matters in his own hand. He said, I will determine what's good and what's evil. I will determine what's right and what's wrong. And in Cain's heart, killing Abel was the right thing for him to do. That's why he went out and did it. When we start to challenge and buck against authority, we bring about contention, strife, wars, battles, conflicts, confusion, misunderstandings. We bring about separation, division. We bring about a mess. But when we honor authority, we bring the blessing and favor of God, because authority is for our good and not for our evil. Well, what if I got an evil man over me or an evil woman with me and they're just doing evil things? Well, they probably showed those tendencies before you got together. You just ignored them. It doesn't necessarily have to be a husband and wife relationship. It doesn't necessarily have to be, and I don't believe in the boyfriend-girlfriend stuff. I used to believe in that, but now being saved and being spirit-filled, I don't believe in that. I believe the relationship should lead to marriage. That's just me. That's my opinion, but I think I have enough word in me and enough word in this Bible to validate the way I believe. Amen? Hallelujah. Courtship leads to marriage, not to another relationship. You don't stay in it just to see, you know, I'm going to see if this going to work. And you're going to yield and give up everything that belongs to somebody else if it don't work with that person. And then you got to gather your emotions and gather all of the baggage and stuff like that and try and get yourself together to make yourself ready for another relationship that may end up the same way. He says, when I consider the heavens, this ought to remind you of that song, What a Mighty God We Serve. When I think about all you've done, the work of your fingers, the moons and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than yes. Oh, no, not yes. Next page. Than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Look at the glory and the honor that God places on us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. That did not go away. How do we know this? Because it was even fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And because we are in Christ and Christ is in us, it gets fulfilled even in us while we're here on the earth. Jesus gave us authority to carry out kingdom works in the earth. He didn't give us authority to do our own thing. He gave us authority to come back to who we were originally in Adam before Adam and Eve sinned and fulfill the will of God. Because if we don't do our part, nations hang in the balance, sinners will perish, and more people will go to hell than ought to because we simply turned off the lights when we should have turned them on. We simply determined what is good and what is evil on our own rather than accepting what God has said. We're living in a crazy world, but we're not a crazy people. We're the antidote. We're the solution. We're the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Stand to your feet. We are blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. What is man that you're mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you would even visit him. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and hast put all things under his feet. Look at your neighbor and say, that's my word. That word is for me. You are more blessed than you think you are. You are victorious. You're not trying to get the victory. You are victorious. Hallelujah. You've been restored back to the place of honor. You've been restored back to the place of power and authority. Now to execute God's will in the earth. The days of our lives are 70. If by reason of strength we get to 80. Brother Oliver, if you don't mind, how old are you? How young are you? 75? I know it's not polite to ask a lady. Glory. You go, Sister Oliver. Amen. Me too. We're in good company. Happy. Huh? 17 and 15. Look at that. And they're still together. I didn't hear. 30 days at, ooh, praise God. He couldn't wait for her to get out of high school. Hallelujah. Brother Larry, if you don't mind, how old are you? 79. Look at this. Hallelujah. Days of our lives are 70. If by reason of strength there are 80. And God never meant for us to spend 1 year out of his presence or out of fellowship with him. To spend all of our days in fellowship with him. Reigning and ruling with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This life is the best life because it's God ordained. We've simply come back to who we are in Christ Jesus. It takes the renewing of the mind. It takes the willingness to obey. It takes the boldness to resist the temptations and resist the devil, resist the current trend, resist the culture, and be who we are in Christ Jesus. But we can do it. Bless God. Hallelujah. We can do it to the glory of God. No more weak Christians. Oh, shout it back to me. No more weak Christians. No, 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 no. No, we weren't created to be weak. We were birthed in boldness and power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we intend to fulfill our mission, our assignment here on this earth in Jesus' name. Lift your hands before the Father. Say, Lord God, anoint these hands with fresh oil. To work the works of God from the crown of my head all the way down to my feet. Pour upon my life fresh oil, fresh fire, new anointing for the days ahead. I live in you. I breathe in you. I'm strong in you and in the power of your might. I declare all the works of your hand have been entrusted to me. I declare you made me to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under my feet. Now you can relate to Jesus saying, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Your enemy is underneath your feet, no matter how the devil tries to masquerade it. It's underneath your feet. What once had mastery over you is now subject to you. Walk in that victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We love you and bless you and thank you for being here with us tonight. Hallelujah. Father, bless your people. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell. I said you will triumph over the gates of hell. I said you will triumph over the gates of hell. The powers of this present darkness are underneath your feet. Underneath your feet. Underneath your feet. Come on, it's underneath your feet. Meaning you have victory, mastery, power, authority over all the power that the enemy will try and come at you with. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. You look at every problem, and then you see the solution in Jesus. And you know that Jesus is with you. Shake off the doubt. Shake off the fear. Shake off the worry. Shake off the anxiety. And let faith have its perfect work in you. You don't care what it looks like. What did Abraham and Sarah look like? I'm trying to stop, but let me get this in and I'll quit. What did Abraham and Sarah look like? Very. '89 and '99. Everything dried up. And God gave life to it. Gave life to it. Gave life to it. You serve the same God. You serve the same God. What am I saying? When it looks seemingly impossible, remember that with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, give him praise and glory. Y'all go home before I start sermon number 3. We love you all. We thank you for your faithfulness, your commitment. Let's win the world to Jesus, one soul at a time. Amen. We thank you, Lord God. I did mention, welcome, Sister Shine. What a name. Shine for the glory of God. Hallelujah. What a name. And we also have Rudy. Is it Donathan? Donathan? All right. Welcome, Rudy. We pray that you enjoy tonight's fellowship. If you have any questions or any concerns, any prayer requests, you can meet us here at the altar. We'll gladly meet with you. I see you do have this prayer request here. Do you mind? You want to come forward and I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Anybody that has to leave, go ahead and be dismissed now so we don't hear the door continuing to open and shut, open and shut, open and shut. You can write down there, yeah, amen, you go. You go, Brother Rudy. I'm coming to you, that's what all I mean. Jesus. Anthony, they shut me off. This is another guest of Brother Anthony Gross, and we thank you, Brother Anthony, for bringing him. Also, Sister Shine was invited by Brother Anthony and Brother Larry, so we rejoice in those that God is sending. You're part of that 500 new guests that we've been believing God for since January 1st, 2016.